Oh man, can you tell that it's going to be a live show day? I hope you could, because some random ass rerun was playing. Sorry about that. Let's go ahead and get things back on track. Let's go ahead and launch. We launched mixed. Mixed, so we're halfway there. All right, here we go.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Ooh, buddy! Good morning, good afternoon, whatever it is. Hello, hello, welcome, welcome, one and all. It is May 4th. Some people like to say, May the 4th be with you. And it is 2022. So it is May 4th, 2022. And it is 1904. Because why? Well, because I was working. I'm doing work stuff. And I got sidetracked a couple of, how would I put it? Several people had requests at the same time. And when I answered one request, I couldn't then tell the other requesters, "Sorry, I have to go and do a radio show. I'll do your request later." So anyway, it just took me a couple minutes to get all of that good to put together. Let's see. Shout out to those in comm or that were in comm when the show was supposed to start, and Jeff and Claudio M and Stug, DJ Bud Stuff, and it looks like LZH was around. So, hello, hello, welcome, one and all. So, anyway, let's go ahead and get going. Enough of me apologizing for and explaining what's going on. You guys kind of get the deal. Hey, Stug. So, let's go ahead and get started the way we pretty much always start. And that, my friends, is with
World News.
Wow, that was the fastest I've ever clicked that button.
World News.
Huh. Maybe my mouse is going on. Anyway, let's get going. Hey, FR Scott B, welcome, welcome. Burundi says 10 troops killed in attack on AU base in Somalia, and that's African Union. 10 Burundi peacekeepers were killed in Tuesday's attack by Al-Shabaab jihadists on an African Union base in Somalia. 25 soldiers were also injured, and 5 are missing, while 20 Al-Shabaab militants were killed. It was the first attack on a peacekeeping base since the AU transition mission in Somalia, ATMIS, ATMIS, replaced the previous AMISOM force on April 1st. AU forces sent in helicopter gunships after the pre-dawn attack on a camp housing Burundian troops near Seal Baraf, a village some 160 kilometers northeast of the capital of Mogadishu. Let's see. Local military commander Mohammed Ali told AFP on Tuesday that the assault began with a car bomb before a furious firefight broke out. Two Burundi military sources told AFP that 45 peacekeepers were reported dead or missing, with 25 others injured. Somalia's government condemned the heinous attack and appealed to the international community to do more to support Somali forces and ATMIS in effectively combating terrorism. AU Commission Chief Moussa Faki Mahamat said on Twitter he spoke to Burundi's President Evariste Ndayishimiye to pay his respects for the sacrifice of the peacekeepers who lost their lives. Trying to find a good map that shows where it was, but anyway, not finding it. Oh well. According to a UN resolution approving its creation, ATMIS is projected to gradually reduce staffing levels from 20,000 soldiers, police, and civilians to zero by the end of 2024. Al-Shabaab fighters controlled Mogadishu until 2011 when they were driven out by AU troops, but they still hold territory in the countryside and frequently attack civilian, military, and government targets in Mogadishu and elsewhere. Oh, you know what? Here's a good map. Copy image link. We'll put it in comm, and I'll tell you the link. This is Mogadishu. Basically, it's in like the southeast part of Somalia, and so it's over there near the border with Kenya and the other side of Ethiopia. So that's where that is. DJ Zeptar in com. Welcome, welcome. All right, let's keep on moving. Dengue fever has broken out. One dead, 11 cases recorded in the Ivory Coast. A dengue epidemic, a viral disease transmitted by mosquitoes, has broken out since March 22nd in Cote d'Ivoire. I think that's how they say it. Cote d'Ivoire. Let's do it like this. Boop, boop. Oh, it doesn't even go into my comm properly, but I think it's Cote d'Ivoire. And the map for Somalia is at sdf.org/l/n8. So that's /Lima/November 8, like L/Nate. Right. So yeah, the mode of transmission of dengue is similar to that of malaria, and the current rainy season facilitates the reproduction of mosquitoes, where a dengue epidemic broke out in Cote d'Ivoire in 2019 with 130 cases and 2 deaths reported. Government then launched a mosquito eradication and awareness campaign to counter the spread of this re-emerging disease worldwide. See you later, FR Scott B. And Zeptar lets us know web devs do it better. Well, what else is going on? Well, here's an update on the hepatitis epidemic that's going on with kids for no reason. Very weird. They've got the Getty image they used for this is a girl sitting with her back to the camera holding her, like, kidneys. Anyway, nearly 300 probable cases of children with severe hepatitis have been detected in 20 countries worldwide, with some in Southeast Asia, the World Health Organization has said. Health officials around the world are investigating a mysterious increase in cases of the liver condition, which was first spotted in the UK. A common virus called adenovirus, which has rebounded after the pandemic, could be causing the surge. This is kind of what they've been saying before. One death has been reported by the WHO. As of May 1st, it said most cases of young children with hepatitis had been detected in Europe, with small numbers also reported in the Americas, Western Pacific, and Southeast Asia. The first cases of this unusual hepatitis were spotted in Scotland in children under the age of 10. More than 140 cases are now being investigated in the UK. Most UK children had a mild form of liver inflammation, although 10 children did need a liver transplant, which is just incredible. They had initial symptoms of vomiting and diarrhea, followed by yellowing of the skin or whites of the eyes called jaundice. The hepatitis viruses that normally cause the condition, viruses A, B, C, D, and E, were not detected in any of the children. Countries worldwide started looking for the unexplained liver condition of unknown origin in children after it was highlighted by UK health officials. There's no reason to believe the rare condition itself is spreading around the world. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Those poor kids having to get liver transplants. That's awful. That's a lifelong commitment to medication there. Sinn Féin is expected to top North Ireland polls, but only thanks to a greater DUP decline. Irish Nationalist Party Sinn Féin is expected to make a historic breakthrough and emerge from Thursday's elections as Northern Ireland's largest party, but Sinn Féin's advance looks limited as it's predicted to lose votes compared to last time. It owes its poll lead to a greater fall in support for the Democratic Unionist Party, DUP, while support for the union itself remains robust. Polls forecast that the largest party in the Northern Irish Assembly will soon be Sinn Féin, the former political wing of the nationalist terrorist group, the IRA, the biggest killer in the Troubles, before renouncing violence in the 1998 Good Friday Agreement. Generational change has improved Sinn Féin's image. Former IRA member Martin McGuinness resigned as Northern Ireland's deputy first minister shortly before his death in 2017. Sinn Féin's other dominant figure since the 70s, Gerry Adams, stepped down as party president in 2018. Welcome, X1. Thank you for being here. Michelle O'Neill and Mary Lou McDonald took over their respective roles, strong media performers. O'Neill and McDonald both entered politics after the Good Friday Agreement ended the Troubles, so they are untainted by association with those 3 decades of sectarian violence. Ah, welcome, A.E. Thank you for tuning in and being here. So, yeah, that's what's going on there. Sinn Féin, formerly the IRA, taking over the country. So, very interesting. All right, let's keep on a moving. Here's a good story before we play a song, because this guy...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Molly Nonuplets, in perfect health on first birthday. The world's only Nonuplets, 9 babies born at the same time, are in perfect health as they celebrate their first birthday, the father has told the BBC. They're all crawling now. Some are sitting up and can even walk if they hold on to something, said Abdelkader Arbi, an officer in the Malian army. They are still in the care of the clinic in Morocco, where they were born. He said their mother, Halima Sise, 26, was also doing well. It's not easy, but it's great, even if it's tiring at times. When you look at all the babies in perfect health, in a line from right to left, we're relieved. We forget everything. He has just returned to Morocco for the first time in 6 months, along with their elder daughter, Souda, age 3. I'm overwhelmed to be reunited with all my family, my wife, the children, and me. They will just have a small birthday celebration with the nurses and a few people from the apartment building. Nothing is better than the first year. We will remember this great moment we are going to experience. So, I thought that was good news for you, so that you can, enjoy that, not all the sad news. We'll talk about the kid death and stuff like that in a few. But yeah, so that's going on. Let's see if I got it. Here it is. This is a song, nice little short one. This is called Sunrise, Sunset. You may recognize it.
Isn't this the little girl I carry? Isn't this the little boy at play?
I don't remember growing older. When did they?
When did she get to be a beauty? When did he grow to be so tall?
Wasn't it yesterday when they were small?
Sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset, swiftly. Sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF, and SDF is powered by you. Even you, FR Scott B. Thank you for being here. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out and listening. SDF's a great place. Check out sdf.wiki, or wiki.sdf.org. And all of that kind of cool stuff. Butt stuff calling out my song choice, Sad Grandparents Dinner Party Music. I'm sorry it's sad, but it's only because, well, there's a lot of sad news. Like, two toddlers were killed when a driver high on meth plowed into a Utah horse stable. That's right, a 25-year-old male driver, allegedly under the influence of meth, crashed into a horse stable in Utah, killing 2 3-year-old boys. On Monday night, the toddlers were playing inside the barn in Eagle Mountain, a city roughly 30 miles south of Salt Lake City, when Kent Cody Barlow, age 25, allegedly rolled into the horse stable and hit the boys. Deputies responding to the scene and found the two boys 75 feet from where they were playing, both were immediately pronounced dead, the sheriff's office said in a statement on Tuesday. Mr. Barlow's passengers told Utah County Sheriff investigators that he was traveling 80 to 100 miles per hour and was drifting or sliding the car as he drove into the barn. Moments before, he had crashed through at least 4 types of fence, including one made of steel, and was launched in the air after colliding with a large cement block. Witnesses told deputies they saw the car driving recklessly into oncoming traffic, traveling fast or near 100 miles an hour, running a stop sign, and then crashing. From where the car first left the pavement to where it came to rest was 345 feet. The sheriff added of the vehicle, which was carrying 3 passengers, and eventually came to a stop upside down. The driver was airlifted to a hospital with serious injuries, and 3 passengers were taken to hospital. All 3 were thought to have since been released. So, don't do drugs, kid. Don't do drugs. That's a bad idea. Don't do drugs, and then also, don't do drugs if you're a kid either. All right. So this is a bit old, but something new, I guess. I just wanted to kind of give you the word of warning. In March 2016, so this is how old this is, Anthony Novak found himself in a jail cell for several days, his phone and computer seized by police. His offense? For 12 hours, he operated a parody Facebook page mocking the police department of Parma, Ohio, advertising fake community outreach events like a pedophile reform meeting and a gathering with free abortions outside of a police van. After several people contacted the station, police went on to secure several warrants, a search warrant for Facebook, another for Novak's apartment, and an arrest warrant. He was prosecuted and under an obscure Ohio law that prohibits using a computer to hinder police activities. A jury... Hey, welcome, JSHMLR. Welcome, welcome. Jury wasn't convinced. Novak was acquitted, his peers unswayed by the claim that the approximately 10 phone calls the page elicited to the department caused a disruption in operations. The statute he was charged under was clearly aimed at people who intentionally clog 911 lines or hack an agency website. Ari Cohen, an attorney who focuses on the nexus between free speech and technology, tells Reason, if creation of a paradigmal our parody department page really has that level of effect, the Parma police should do some serious soul searching as to what it's actually doing. Yet a federal court was similarly not persuaded by a civil suit filed by Novak, who argued that the officers violated his constitutional rights, setting up a debate around overcriminalization and free speech. While protected speech can be evidence that a speaker committed a separate crime, the First Amendment bars its use as the sole basis for probable cause, writes Judge Amal Thapar of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit. Point for Novak. But some of Novak's other actions derailed his claim. He also modeled his page after the department using the same profile picture. He deleted comments that led onto the page wasn't the official one, and when the department tried to clarify that Novak's page was imitating its own, he copied the official declaration post word for word. Put more plainly, Novak's words were protected speech, but scrubbing words and parroting the department might not have been. The decision goes on to grant the officers qualified immunity, which prevents state and local government actors from having to face civil suits for allegedly violating people's rights. There's no prior court precedent clearly litigating the facts of a plaintiff's accusation. His suit is therefore doomed. Novak has not identified a case that clearly establishes deleting comments or copying the official a warning is protected speech. And, hey, Chaos, welcome, welcome. And so that's kind of where we are in the United States. Your free speech, you have to clearly establish that the act or the speech that you're doing is protected speech. So, good luck, USA. Chance of USA were heard outside the courtroom that day. All right, what else is going on? So much, but I gotta mention this. We are only 6 minutes away from the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. Now, this show is like the anyway, it's a wild ass show. It's definitely fun. There are synthesizers. Sometimes there's dudes. Sometimes hamburgers are put up high. And sometimes we fund it. But whatever it is, it's a trip. It's fun. Definitely try on. If you're checking out non-radio for the first time, I do this show Monday through Friday. Dubious Goals Committee is every damn day. And today being Wednesday, if you press the equal sign in com, you can see the schedule. But you can see that DJ Zeptar with the Zeptar Show is coming up at 20 hours. And then we have audio theater tonight. Well, it's tomorrow, it's 0600. And then tomorrow, there's all sorts of cool stuff, including Perindy, AC Cadaver with Greg F. Anyway, check it out. Ba-dump-bump, Chaos is GNU. All right. How the oil and gas industry is trying to hold U.S. public schools hostage. Surprise, surprise. This comes to us from theguardian.org. The oil and gas industry. F. Scott B. SDF and Tilde are two totally different groups. So I don't know what the question is. Anyway, I'm not sure, F.R. Scott B., about religious restrictions or anything like that. That's a somebody else question, I think. Anyway, the oil and gas industry wants to play a word and picture association game with you. Think of four images. A brightly colored backpack stuffed with pencils. A smiling teacher with a tablet tucked under her arm and a pair of glasses resting on a stack of pastel notebooks. And a school bus welcoming young students on board. What do all of these have in common? An April 6th Facebook post by the New York Mexico Oil and Gas Association asked, they are powered by oil and natural gas. Here in New Mexico, the fastest warming and most water-stressed state in the continental U.S., where wildfires have recently devoured over 120,000 acres and remain uncontained, the oil and gas industry is coming out in force to deepen the region's dependence on fossil fuels. Their latest tactic is to position oil and gas as a patron saint of education. Powerful interest groups have deployed a months-long campaign to depict schools and children's well-being as under threat if government officials infringe upon fossil fuel production. In a video spot exemplary of this strategy, Ashley Neiman, a fourth-grade teacher at Enchanted Hills Elementary School, tells viewers that the industry is what enables her to do her job. Without oil and gas, we wouldn't have the resources to provide an exemplary education for our students, she says. The partnership we have with the oil and gas industry makes me a better teacher. The video... off and some other stuff. All right, we're running out of time. Let's hit up some other big stories that I don't think are making it out. Death row inmates' dreadful dilemma: lethal drugs or cyanide used by the Nazis. That's right, a death row inmate in Arizona has 2 weeks to decide whether to be executed with cyanide gas, the poison known as Zyklon B, used by the Nazis to murder millions of people in Auschwitz and other extermination camps. On Tuesday, the Supreme Court of Arizona issued an execution warrant for Atwood that, barring last-minute appeals, will see him put to death on June 8th. The prisoner now has until May 19th to choose his preferred method of death, either lethal injection or hydrogen cyanide, a poisonous gas made notorious by the Nazis as a mass killing technique. Atwood's lawyers are scrambling to try to persuade the condemned man not to opt for cyanide. They point out that the last time Arizona used the gas to kill two prisoners in the 90s, it led to gruesome and prolonged deaths, lasting in one case 18 minutes. during which time the prisoner was observed to suffer agonizing choking and gagging. Cyanide is as bad as everybody thinks it is. There's a reason the Nazis used it. It's a horrific way to die, said Joseph Perkovich of Phillips Black, a member of Atwood's legal team. We are now in the position of having to dissuade our client from opting to go into a cyanide gas chamber, and we have 15 days to do it. So, yeah, this is wild. The United States, I don't know. I think the death penalty is a barbaric, weird thing that the United States is just in love with, kind of like with our love affair with guns. Bang, bang. Anyway, time for the Dubious Goals Committee coming up here in just under a minute. I want to mention here, Dolly Parton was inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, famous country singer. Against her wishes, she said, hey, I'm not a rock and roll singer. They said, oh, sure, why not? And an anti-abortion activist climbed San Francisco's tallest building. See you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Seven, six.